Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Talked to my cousin in the Dalles. Guess what she said? There's a whole bunch of snow on the ground. Well, we haven't had any here for a long time, but we're sure getting in the mountains. Well, that's okay. When it's got time to snow here, that'll be fine with me. But I'm already thinking about spring, aren't you? Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I'm just going to ask you to kick off your slippers and sit back and relax. I want to talk about a subject that is dear to my heart, salvation. And if you don't have salvation tonight, and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, please listen, because you can find out how you too can be born again and your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. Here's our thought for the day. How to be happy. Keep your heart free from hate. Your own mind from worry. Live simply. Expect little. Give much. Sing often. Pray always. Forget self. Think of others and their feelings. Fill your heart with love. Scatter sunshine. These are tried links in the golden chain of contentment. Well, tonight I'd like to just speak about a subject that I know is, you'll love it because it's talking about salvation. Now, if you're not born again, beloved, oh, please listen, because this is so important. I wish when I was lost that I'd had the privilege of listening to someone make a statement that would cause me to turn from my sins and turn to Jesus. I'm reading from the 51st Psalm in the 12th verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Well, this was a confession. Here is an inside view of a man getting right with God, and the bearing of a man's heart after an encounter with failure. Each one of us has experienced failure in a down through life's journey. I suppose the worst day of my life was the day I saw my mother for the last time when they took her to the graveyard. I can't explain to you. I was only 13, and so my heart was broken. I mean, my heart. I didn't know why would I want to live? My sis was in nurse's training. My two brothers were married and away from home. And there were just me and my dad and the hired men. And dad hired a lady about 65 years old to do the cooking for the hired crew and us. But I had nobody that I could sit down and talk to. And you know what, friends? You're sitting there in your room or wherever you're at, and you say, you know, I would love to sit down with Cecil and have a cup of coffee and just chat with him. I wished you could. But any time you want to talk to me, you call me at 303-471-853, and I'll talk with you. A lot of people go to their suicide. And they just had one person to talk to, they probably would have never done it. In the morning that I accepted Jesus, I had called all the friends I had, which was none. I never had any friends, just drinking friends. You can't call them real friends. Well, David had a real, real burdened heart. Let's see what it says again. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Well, it is also a psalm of the king. David is a leader, not only politically, spiritually, and even musically. Now, it's a psalm with which we can identify because we also fail. We shall focus on just one statement of this prayer. David had known the joy of salvation. Restore indicates that he had possessed it before. Now, a search of the Psalms reveal that truth. Psalms 9:1, I will praise thee. Psalm 21:1, the king shall joy in thy strength. Psalm 23:5, my cup runneth over. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Listen, there is a good reason for this joy. What is it? The joy of forgiveness. The joy of assurance of heaven. The joy of the presence of the Lord. And the joy of finding the answer to life. You know, I've got a dear brother in the Dalles, Bill Elton and his wife. And every time we talk, and he'll say to me, what is life? Life is Jesus. Life is knowing that you have a new life. The old man has passed away. All things become as new, and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, I was looking for the answer, and I didn't know the question. This joy is available to you through the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Nobody has ever been saved apart from hearing about Jesus. You can't just go out here, oh, I work hard, I pay my bills, I go to church. That isn't telling me nothing. Oh, beloved, I know you say, Cecil, you're a little bit wrong on it. No, I'm not. I have run into people in church who've been to church for years and were as lost as a goose in the grass. I have a pastor friend up in Billings, Montana, one of the dearest brothers, and he has the poorest church. I mean, the people are poor. He ministers to poor and downtrodden and needy people. Well, he was a pastor of this church. He was single. And this young, beautiful young girl come into that church and his heart did a flip-flop. He fell for her hook, line, and sinker. Well, he wanted to marry her. But there was something, and here he's pastoring his church. But there was something missing, and she couldn't put her finger on it. What was it? He was lost. He was trying to work his way into the kingdom of God, which you cannot do. And if you're a multi-billionaire tonight, you can't buy your way in. It's free. That's hard to believe, isn't it? It's free, and then God gives it. He gives a gift. All we do is repent by faith. Reach out and grasp that salvation experience. David had lost the joy of his salvation. Now, restore indicates that he does not have it right now. Well, David has a lot of company. Many are filled with gloom who were once filled with glory. Many are burdened who once were blessed. and many are sour who once were filled with song. Now many are pouting who once were praising David and the story of his sin, the affair with Bathsheba. Now, had David been out in battle like he had been in days before, this would have never happened. If he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's up on the roof praying, and he looked over and he saw this beautiful woman taking a bath. Well, guess what happened? You know what happened. Now, sin has robbed David of his joy. He no longer has a song. Many will remember a day, especially that day. Do you? David longed to have the joy of his salvation restored. I had a man in our church, Brother Roberts, and his wife and two kids. Now, he's an older Christian. I looked up to him. He was everything I wanted to be as a Christian. One day him and I were somewhere. He said, "Brother Mo, did you know that our pastor is lying to us?" Well, you could have knocked my eyes off with a stick. "What do you mean, Brother Roberts, our pastor is lying to us?" Well, number one, he says you can't lose your salvation. I said, "You can't, can you?" "Oh my, yes." Well, I lost my joy right there. Anyway, I was troubled. Oh, was I troubled. I hadn't been a Christian but a short time. And I went to church Sunday morning with a very, very heavy heart. The pastor got up and he said, "You know, I was privileged to go 4 years to seminary in Texas and 4 years of college. And I'll be jiggered. I can't think of the name of the school he went to. But anyway, and he said, "We had some of the best professors the world has ever known, greatest theologians." But he said, "You know what? If you are troubled and you really don't know what the answer is, you go to the greatest teacher of them all, God's Holy Spirit." Man, I could not wait till I got home that night or that day. I got into the Word. I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, Brother Roberts told me we could lose it. Brother Tom said it's a lie. When we're saved forever." Well, let me tell you what I did. I got into the book, God's Holy Unerring Word. And I want you to know, almost every page I read, it was eternal security. "Man shall not pluck thee out of my hand," and on and on and on and on. John 3:16 and all those. And I went back and I told him, I said, "Brother Roberts, you're wrong." Now, the other day, I have a dear friend. He's a roof consultant for a large manufacturing company of a roof, sheet system roofing. And he's of the denomination that believes you can lose your salvation. And I knew it. I said, "Tom, turn with me in the scriptures, and I want you to read something here." He said, "Okay." I said, "Read the 12th verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltlessness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. He said, what did you say? I said, restore. Bring back. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost his joy. I want to ask you, friends, have you ever woke up in the morning and didn't feel like a Christian? Don't go by feelings. Go by faith. Don't go by feelings. Because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I know I should pray. But sometimes I'm too tired, I think. Or Satan has said, there's got something else we got to do. It's more important than your praying. Years and years and years ago, I was on Radio KPOF for 32 years here in Denver. I had a one-hour broadcast. And I was on at midnight, and I was on at 10 o'clock. Anytime you wanted to call me, you could. I was the only preacher in the millions of people living in Denver that we offered that kind of a ministry. Well, one time we were raising funds for the radio station, and I said, and we were on the phones taking pledges, and I said to the Dr. Dahlenbeck, I said, you know what? We should offer, if someone wants to give an offering to the station, well, let's ask them if they have a prayer request. Write it down and pray for them. He said, we do not have time to pray. I said, that's your problem. That's your problem. Years and years ago, when I was executive director of the Youngstown Rescue Mission, we had a woman who was the president, and she was of this school, you could lose your salvation. And she was a very wicked woman, but she was the president of the mission. Well, she just kept riding me because, you know, she'd go down and preach in the prison. And she'd put those curls that you buy from the girls in the South, the Jezebels. And she'd put on some perfume that would knock you over. The sheriff called me and says, preacher, is there any way you can keep your president out of my prison? She's driving my men crazy. She had an evil heart. All right, the Lord gave me the scripture that I had to stand up. I had to stand up, and she was trying to give me a real hard time. So now we had a big business meeting. We must have had 25 board members there and myself. And she was leading out, and she was screaming and carrying on like an idiot. And I said, let us stop right now. Let's call God into this meeting. Let's get on our knees and ask him to forgive all this going on and let him take control. She said, we do not have time to pray, Brother Mo. I said, nor do I have time to be your executive director. And I got up and walked out, and I don't know how many board members walked out and resigned that night. Wow, what in the world? I went home and told my wife, we just bought a lovely, beautiful home. It's the most beautiful home I ever had in my life. And I went home, but you know, dear friends, I felt that the world had lifted off my back. And she said, honey, what are you going to do? I said, well, I know God will take care of us. I took a stand like he told me to do in Jeremiah, and I took my stand. Did you know, beloved, I went out the very next day to a Christian builder there in Youngstown, Ohio. I contracted his roofing, and I was making $150 a day, and I paid my son $100. God took care of us because I took my stand. And the, you know what she told me one time? See, we had another place out of Youngstown, and we built mats for horse trailers out of rubber. We had a regular manufacturing plant out there. And she told me one day, all those men out there are saved. I said, they are? So I went out, I took my friend who believed that you could lose your salvation, and I went out that night and I preached my heart out. I gave an invitation. I said, I want to see the hands of every one of you men who have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not one hand went up. And I said to my board member, I said, see that? She don't even know what salvation is. No, she didn't. And one of the colored men, I just loved him. He was our truck driver. And after the service, I said to him, I said, son, you never raised your hand. He said, I'm not worthy to be a Christian. I said, nor am I, nor anyone else. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Restore was part of his prayer to get back what he had lost. David prays for his joy to come back again. What is the road back? It is the road of remembering. It is the road of confession. It is the road of faith. Do you long for that joy again? Well, you can have it. Oh, you sure can. It says in Psalm 32, another view of the same man. Blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven. Have you been forgiven of your sins? Do you know that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life? Now, if you do, you have a joy. Little children used to sing, I got a joy, joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Where in my heart? Well, your joy will return as you return to your Lord, confessing your sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to to forgive all our sins, not just a few. Listen, this is what God gave me one day. Life is not worth living if He hasn't said you're forgiven. That's what the book says. Have you been forgiven? Do you have a tugging at your heart tonight? You know, the Holy Spirit does tug at people's heart. And you know, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. See, I can't save you. I sure can't. I could do anything, but I can't save you. Only Jesus saves. That's the only word. God's Holy Spirit draws your heart so that you can, He convicts you of your lost condition, and then He'll save you. Well, friends, listen, I want to ask you. Tonight, would you like to trust Jesus? If you got that tugging at your heart, I want you right now to bow your head with me. Please, beloved, don't pray this unless you mean it. It goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord God, I'm sorry for what I've done to you and the world. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm standing by my phone as I have for 40 some years, radio and television. I don't know all the answers, but I know the one who does. His name is Jesus. All the things you need to know in life is in this book. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. You give me a call, 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I trust that I answered some questions for you. And if I didn't, you can sure call me, and I'll be glad to talk to you. Oh, friends, if you can't afford to call, please call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. Please continue to pray for my wife's heart and my back and my operation. Pray that we'll be strong enough to get out here and get busy. I'm working all the time, and I just pray God will give me the strength, because this is what I was called to do, to tell people how to get to heaven. And I can tell you. I can tell you how to be delivered from alcoholism, from drug addiction, from whoremongers, whatever. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.